Hello, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Françoise right here on Money Radio 1200 AM and 100.9 FM. I am Françoise Rhodes as we kick into the travel hour of the show. Joining me in the boardroom, he continues to be in the boardroom, is Sean Flanagan. Sean, that music still sounds really fast.
You know what's funny is that time I was listening for it and I wasn't paying attention that it wasn't fading out as I was fading it out because I was trying to listen to it. It did sound a little bit fast.
Yeah, so maybe you can do something about that.
Yeah. I'll ask somebody.
Slow it down. Now, I don't know what happened there, but shoosh. All right. So, busy weekend here in the Coachella Valley. Of course, Coachella Fest is in town. Craziness all over the place. We have visitors from all around the world that are just loving our Coachella Valley. So, we are very, very lucky to have them here. I'm thrilled. I like to talk to them and see what's going on and hear all these different languages and all different age groups. I mean, Coachella... I don't know. Even though they tend to say it's for the younger crowd,
there's a lot of different people out there.
All different ages. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, great to have him here. Welcome to the Coachella Valley. So, again, this is the travel portion of Traveling with Françoise. We kick it off at the top of the hour, 11 o'clock a.m. in the morning for local news here about what's going on in the Coachella Valley, and then we switch over to travel. And here we are. All right. The show is brought to you by today's show, Renova Solar. We want to thank them. And I wasn't on KESQ yesterday, but I will be back next week, next Saturday morning, and I've been promising New Orleans for a long time. I really, really love the vibe. I like vibes. I think that's what it is. I like to go to places where it has its own unique vibe. And I think that's what's happening here in the Valley because of these music festivals. We have our own unique vibe going on. New Orleans has its own vibe. Disneyland has its own vibe.
Well, I think it's because then even if you're not having necessarily a great time, it still feels good.
Yeah.
When the vibes are good, this kind of doesn't matter what you do. It just, you have a good time.
You're just glad to be there.
Exactly.
It's like Vegas. I don't know. People are always, you know, talking bad about Vegas. I don't know.
I like Vegas.
I love Vegas. I can have a good time even if I don't gamble.
No.
I just walk around and the
people
vibe.
Watch.
Yeah. And people are going, oh, you know, they're looking at all this stuff. That big fire at Bellagio. Did you see that?
I did see that. I saw a piece of it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
It looked wild.
The
that
roof,
would be terrifying.
It looked like it was part of over the shopping area. They say it didn't damage any of the hotel rooms.
And nobody was hurt, right?
Yeah, no one was hurt, but that was a pretty big blaze.
Yeah, it looked big.
Yeah, so wouldn't that be scary? You'd be sitting there looking out your window at the fountain down below the water, and all of a sudden you look over.
You're like, oh, what's going on over there?
Oh, do they have a new exhibit? What is that, a new show? It must be a fire show. Yeah. Well, anyway. All right. So lots of things happening in the world of travel. But before we go any farther, I want to read you a couple emails that we received. This one is from Karen Baroni, the famous artist. They have art, big, gigantic sculptures all over. She said, Françoise, I listened to the excellent radio interview you did on Fitz, who's our co-partner behind me. I went on there to talk about the Blue Angels show and taped the TV segment and just watched it. What an incredibly well-constructed, informative, high production show you just delivered. It was indeed a once-in-a-lifetime experience you shared, and oh, so brave of you to commit to the same. And kudos, Miss Françoise, and that's from Karen Baroni. So, Karen, thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I got to see the show, too. I did the same thing. I recorded it, and I did finally get to watch
it. So, what'd you think?
It was awesome.
It was. Yeah. Did you see my one part with my hand shaking? I almost was going to...
You know what, though? You really didn't look too nervous.
No.
I mean, you said that you were nervous, but you held your composure well. How about that?
Yeah. And a couple times I didn't look like I was having, but I really was. But there was a few times when I was trying to keep from getting sick too. So I was focused on, and then just focused on what was going on around me. So, and that show will be posted now on the Traveling with Françoise website on the television page. I'll move it over there too. So in case you missed it, you can go to the TV page and watch all the past four episodes, because we'll be filming a new one on Monday. Here's another email I received, and it's from Cheryl. She said, Hi, Françoise. This is Cheryl from Desert ENT. Oh, my God. Your show was awesome. You did such a great job. You were amazing. I did not know that base was there, and I have lived here all my life. You brought in some good history lessons, too. Amazing. Kudos to you and your staff, from Cheryl. Well, Cheryl, thank you so much. My staff includes one cameraman when we are on the road filming. It's Steve Tangi and me. That's it. Boom. And it works.
If it works, if it's not broken, there's no need to change anything about it.
So if you do notice that the hair is blowing around and so I don't have hair and makeup, it's just me. And we kind of like it that way. We think it, for me, It's not about the glamour shots and posing on the beach in a bikini or anything like that. It's about being relatable to the audience and focusing more on the destination.
And the information, too.
Right, and yeah. The information. So I'm not real worried about it. And every now and then I'll tease Steve and I'll say, why didn't you tell me my hair was blowing all over? He says,
okay, but hold on, though. It doesn't look like you just rolled out of bed and jumped in front of the camera either.
Well, let's calm
that a little bit.
But there was parts, but he laughs. He says, look, I'm the cameraman. All right. You want hair and makeup?
And it's windy outside. Yeah. It's windy outside.
Yeah, so. It's windy. So anyway, lots of fun. Now, I did want to mention this just because for those of you that are traveling to the Coachella Valley for the big music festivals, because we have Stagecoach coming up. We also have, I'm sure, Desert Trip's coming back. We know it is. It was such a big hit last year. It will be back. This is what they have added. So if you want to come to these nice little music festivals, it certainly isn't Woodstock anymore. Where you going? You know, you roll in with a tent to VW and good luck to you. Yeah, not anymore. Now you can go glamping. And part of the fun for this is what you could get. It's a camping experience for $7,500. You can still experience a tent accommodations, but in a much more glamorous fashion. It is a safari-style tent. On-site lodging provides a shikar-style tent with one or two queen beds, air conditioning, golf cart, transportation to the festival stages, concierge service, breakfast, and late-night snacks and guest viewing. That's for $7,500 for the weekend. All right. Now, if you want to fly in and out and you don't want to be caught up in the traffic, for $695, you can get a seat in an A-Star Chopper or King Air 200 aircraft operating by Blade. They will get you back and forth to the festival from Santa Monica, Van Nuys, take you out to Thermal. So you have that option. Let's see. If you have an extra $110,000, you and nine of your best friends could stay in a hand-picked estate just down the road from the music festival. And let's see. During the festival weekend for eight people, it costs only $95,000. Offered through Valley Music Travel, they have it fully stocked. There's a pool. There's a concierge. There's everything you can imagine right there, and you're within walking distance of the festival. So you and your best friends just get together. Put a little money together, and
I think it. that would be probably the only way you could get me to go to the festival. But I don't think I could ever just have 110 grand just laying around that I would want to spend on a festival.
Okay. Well, you know, and then here's something new: the Canna Spa. Let's see. That's where the Canna Spa at Coachella comes in for $280 for 2 days. Concert goers can stop by the two-day event being held at nearby Bermuda Dunes and take advantage of a variety of spa services and fine dining experience promoting cannabis-infused products.
Oh, I thought that was the other one. They have another one where, like, you can just go out there and they have...
Is that the Buzz Box?
I don't know, but there's a whole bunch of them.
I think, yeah.
I feel like I've seen two or three different ones.
So to get into the fair, it's already $395.
Right, which is ridiculous.
Like that.
And you don't even know who's going to be there.
Right, you don't know. And then if you have all this extra money, that doesn't include hotel. And I wonder how the camp, the pop-up tents on top of Spotlight 29, I wonder how that was well, if that was well received.
Those.
Yeah, they have pop-up tents up there. They have the trailered showers and bathrooms that they bring in.
Uh-huh.
And you can...
And just kind of make it a campsite?
It's a big campsite up there on the top of the parking lot. Can you imagine what
dangerous.
Goes on there at night?
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm sure they have guards and stuff walking around. all right. What do we say? Today in the show, we have some tickets to give away. We also are going to talk about the California Honey Festival and mead, which is a new drink. It's we'll find out from our guests what mead, M-E-A-D, is. What is it here? It's a hub of all things honey and mead. So we're going to find out what I think it's an alcohol beverage. All right. Well, we'll find out. But the Honey Festival sounds really fun in Woodland, California. So I'm excited to talk about that. We also have some industry news and so much more. So I think on that note, so we can jump into the industry news when we come back, we're going to talk about the fellow that was forcibly removed from the United Airlines jet. That was just what a nightmare for United Airlines over and over and over. And did they have the right to do that? We're going to find out. We're going to find out who's cutting flights to Cuba and so much more. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes. Joining us in the boardroom is Sean Flanagan. If you want to win some prizes, give us a call at 760-440-8255. That's 440-8255. I have two tickets to the production of Later Life at the Coachella Valley Repertory in Rancho Mirage. The date of this performance is Saturday, May 6th. It's a 2 p.m. matinee. So if you would like to win those tickets, please give us a call at 760-440-8255. And the tickets will be at Will Call in your name. All right, this segment of the show is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other conditions. I was just over there the other day. They do an amazing job at the Braille Institute. Give them a call at 760-321-1111. That's 760-321-1111. All right. Video of bumped flyer sets off an uproar. No kidding. After a Facebook video surfaced Monday that showed a United Airlines passenger being forcibly removed from an overbooked flight at O'Hare International Airport, reaction from the public was swift. Wow. Passengers, well, they say the answer is, so can they really do this? And the answer is yes. They can. Passengers have few rights when flights are overbooked. Federal regulations do not prevent carriers from selling more seats than a flight can accommodate, a practice that airline industry says allows carriers to fly to fill planes despite the number of no-shows that they can expect on any given flight. But that was just unbelievable.
Okay, but the no-shows, they get paid for that anyways, do they not? I mean, when you don't show up, it's not like they're just like, oh, okay, well, we're going to refund your money.
Right.
Right? I mean, so they're still making money on those no-shows.
Right.
So the whole thing is wrong, period.
I don't think they keep the entire amount.
No.
There's some sort of penalty.
I think there is, but I think it's a large penalty.
But yeah, but that fellow who was a doctor, you're so torn. Notice no one else was getting up when they were doing it.
Right.
No one was saying.
Nobody was like, oh, wait, no, never mind. I'll do it.
I'll do it.
Right.
Not one person wanted to get off that flight.
Right.
So to me, that's when I think the airline just has to say, we're the ones that are in trouble.
Yeah.
We're
going
to have to find a different way to get these four. They had a crew that they needed to get where the flight was
that
going.
That made it even worse. It was their staff. They were kicking. It's just the whole thing is horrible, but it's not going to change anything. That's the downside to it.
Well, he is suing big time.
Yeah, but we're not going to go. Nobody's going to stop going to United Airlines. You know, they might for a little bit. But as soon as those prices come down, if United drops her prices, $20 a ticket, everybody will be like, okay, we like you again.
Well, and the deal here is it wasn't the United Airlines staff that did this.
Right.
It was the airport.
Right.
At Transportation Safety. The airport enforcement, that they are the ones that took this person
right.
off.
Right.
Not the United people.
Just not necessarily to point fingers.
Yeah, I mean, that was just crazy, though.
The situation
was
bad.
The guy's bleeding in his face, and they're still dragging him around and dragging him. And I don't know. It's just, and he was panicky. You could see at one point he was really confused and pretty, and I don't blame him either. And the lady screaming down the aisle, and I don't know. I just don't get it. I think United, if they really wanted that crew, they should have said, okay, we'll give somebody $2,000.
Right. They could just keep bumping it up.
Bumping it up till someone – four seats, though. They wanted four seats.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of seats. And if this one fellow, no one else was giving up their seat, what did they do? They probably still never got the four seats.
They used him as the example. They dragged him out, and then they said, hey, anybody else want to refuse?
Oh.
I got two problems with it. There's two problems. And I think one of them kind of – they realize they screwed up was that in the response from United, the guy apologized for reaccommodating the passenger.
Oh, the CEO.
Yeah. He said that he apologized for having to reaccommodate the passenger rather than apologizing for, the knockout, drag out fight.
Yeah.
That was the issue. And then I think that the other problem is that, after it happened, all of a sudden I was reading weird articles about how this guy wasn't really a very good guy. The doctor.
Oh, no.
Which you know that came from United. You know that had...
I didn't see that.
Yeah. And the thing is, you didn't know that when you dragged him out. So you can't put that out there now. It doesn't matter who he was or what he was going to do. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You didn't know that when you made the decision to do what you did.
Yeah. And what they say, they pick random seats and walk up to you.
Right.
I mean, if I had an appointment, I was connecting to another flight or getting on a cruise ship or whatever, I would say, no, I'm sorry. I can't.
The thing is, when people are flying, majority of the time, you got people who are going home,
yeah,
which they're ready to go home. They're not ready to just hang out
still. And they have a limited
time. And you have people that are leaving to go somewhere. And those people are excited to go somewhere. They don't want to get off the plane either.
Yeah.
So it's
it was, the whole thing was so bad. But like you say, I don't know how things are going to change, if they're going to change over this, except United's going to be ending up paying that family a lot of money.
Did you see they lost $1 billion in market value?
Well, because of
like
that.
Like the next day?
Yeah, but it will bounce back though.
Oh, yeah, but that's insane.
Yeah.
That is, wow. Yeah. So buy United right now real quick before they bounce back.
Sean's stock advice, yeah. Okay, well, speaking of airlines though, we were wondering, so what is, who is the friendliest airline out there? Because there are ones that rank, you know, they have all these rankings that go on. And Alaska Airlines, a familiar carrier to the Coachella Valley, grabbed the number one spot for the best airline overall in 2016 when measuring customer complaints, on-time takeoffs, denied boardings, mishandled baggage, among other area, according to the review of the 10 largest U.S. airlines. So Alaska rated number one. There's one thing I say, denied boardings on here. How did he get back on the jet?
Right.
That's what I'm wondering. If they did all that to get him off, how in the world did he get
back
on the jet?
I don't know.
Yeah. That.
But I think
crazy.
That you have to kind of second guess your industry when the best is voted by how little they mess up.
Yeah.
Rather than just who does the best. It's like, okay, well, look. You did the least worst, so you are the best.
Here you go. Well, they had the least amount of mishandled baggage,
right.
Denied boardings, and customer complaints. So there you go. The top five airlines overall include Alaska, Delta, SkyWest, United, and Virgin America. So United was right there. If Alaska is considered the most reliable, JetBlue took the top spot for being the most comfortable, given its in-flight experience of offering free Wi-Fi, extra legroom, and complimentary snacks and beverages. So JetBlue. Might want to take JetBlue. But interesting, again, on the top five list of the most friendly skies out there, airlines, United was right there in the top five.
I just love that the internet took it and ran.
Oh, they did ran.
There was so much. The pictures and videos and memes. It was awesome.
And, it was the whole thing. I'm sure United cringed. Can you imagine the CEO when he first saw that video? PR damage control. Where do you even start with damage control?
Yeah.
But again, it wasn't the United employees that pulled
right,
him off
you
that
can't,
way.
But you can't start with a finger point. That won't work. You can't.
Well, speaking of, we're going to stick on the topic of airlines. Cuba, service to Cuba. Well, they opened, the floodgates were open to Cuba. Well, now, maybe not so much. People are not that interested as much as they thought they were interested. The number of U.S. airlines flying to Cuba keeps thinning out. Spirit Airlines has become the latest to throw in the towel on regular passenger service to the country. It's now the third U.S. carrier to do so after similar announcements earlier this year from Frontier and Silver Airways. Spirit's Havana-Fort Lauderdale flights will end May 31st, according to the paper out there. Other airlines, including American and JetBlue, also have reduced capacity to Cuba, though they have not dropped any routes there. Spirit's decision to exit Cuba comes only about 8 months after regular passenger flights resumed for the first time in nearly 50 years. So this pretty much just tells me that perhaps they oversaturated the market. I mean, how many people would, want to go to Cuba?
Right.
But how many people a day are going to go to Cuba?
But I feel like maybe you don't think they've scared us into not going to Cuba? I mean, I feel like since I can remember, Cuba's been this scary place that, with this dictator and this and that.
But no, I don't think so. I think there was, I think it was just because cruise ships now are docking in Cuba. So they have the cruise ships, the airlines. I just think maybe people didn't want to go this quickly. They're still waiting because they say there's still a lot going on in Cuba to get it to where the experience that a lot of U.S. travelers anyway want. They want to go and be spoiled like they are in
resort. Resort and all inclusive. Right.
And the Cuba has a ways to go. With all of that. So anyway, Cuba, I think it'll all bounce back. I think it'll sort of even out and more flights. Then we'll re-step back into the Cuba market. But right now, these smaller, when you look at these jets, Silver Airways. I haven't even heard of them. and some smaller.
I think you said Frontier.
Yeah, Frontier. That's not that small, but Silver Airways. I've never heard of them. Frontier though is still kind of small. It's kind of like a taxi of airlines. So I can see that maybe right now it just wasn't a good market for them. So, but we'll see. I do think it'll bounce back. All right. Other news when it comes to flights. Let's see. United Airlines announced a major expansion for this summer. The latest step in a broader turnaround effort by USA's number 3 airline, which by now might be number 10. The growth spurt will bring United to 4 destinations it does not currently serve: Champaign, Illinois; Columbia; Rochester; and Santa Rosa, California. So they are adding some more flights. In other news, in the airlines, travelers in California will have a new nonstop option to get to Spain this summer. The flights to Barcelona will come on Level, a new discount carrier launched by International Airlines Group, the parent company of European Airlines British Airways, Iberia, and Aer Lingus, and Spanish carrier Vueling. So they're going to be getting, and those will be out of Los Angeles, so direct to Spain. So that's a good thing. And let's see. China's Hainan Airlines began nonstop service between Los Angeles and the interior Chinese city of Chengdu on March 15th. Hainan uses its new Boeing 787 Dreamliners to fly 7,200 miles. That's one way. That's a long way.
It's a very long way.
Yeah, but it looks pretty luxurious to me. So the airlines, definitely a lot of news going on in the airlines. And if you wanted even more news about airlines, well, an aerospace firm announced it is developing electric aircraft to get travelers out of their cars and into planes for regional commercial flights up to 1,000 miles.
So
you will be in an electric plane.
Okay.
Versus
already
one that uses
a little bit.
Fuel. It's a, like another form of a taxi for jets. It says here, JetBlue Technology Ventures developed 10 to 50-seat aircraft for flights that could begin as early as 2020. The goal is to return flights to smaller communities that lost air service.
Right.
Which that's a good thing. During the last 30 years, as regional airlines consolidated routes above larger aircraft. So there's a lot of these smaller airports out there. Thermal is one of them that gets huge private jet traffic out there.
Oh, really?
People do not realize.
Especially right now.
Oh, it's a parking lot of expensive jets out
really?
There. If you've never been out to that airport. But there's a lot of smaller locations that the people don't have access to get to. At least we have dailies that go from here to Los Angeles.
Right.
But a lot of the smaller airports can't get these people to the major hubs unless they drive. So this, I think, would be a good thing.
That would be cool.
I like this. All right. On that note, we are going to step aside. I just see that my guest called my cell phone.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. I recognize the number. We're going to straighten that out. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the California Honey Festival that happens in Woodland, California. About what's going on. This is their first Honey Festival on Saturday, May 6th. I don't know. It just sounds like a ton of fun to me. We're going to find out about the festival itself. We're going to find out a little bit about the bees. Remember, bees were in jeopardy for a while. I hope they're making a comeback, which I think they are with all the rain and the flowers. Bees must just be in bee heaven right now with all the spring flowers out there.
Bee's knees.
There you go. We're going to step aside. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Great to have you with us. I am Francoise Rhodes. All right, I want you to listen to this because I think this is going to be so much fun. On Saturday, May 6, 2017, the historic Northern California town of Woodland will become the hub of all things honey as it hosts the inaugural California Honey Festival with mead as a central theme. Now, here to talk with us about this is Al Eby. Hi, Al.
How are you doing today?
I am so fine, thank you. And how's it up there in Woodland?
It's actually raining a little bit today.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, down here it's probably about 88
or
89.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, Al, let's talk now. This press release caught my eye. California Honey Festival. First, the name. I just love the name. So tell us a little bit about what you do up there in Woodland.
Well, we are actually, Yolo County is, and there actually is a county named Yolo. A lot of people actually ask us that a lot. And in that county is the town of Woodland, which we are the county seat. And so we have a lot of crops that produces in Yolo County. And so naturally, along with those crops, a lot of those crops are pollinated by honeybees. And so, naturally, that's how it came about as far as the honeybees in the California Honey Festival.
All right, which, again, folks, is on Saturday, May 6th. You have plenty of time to book your hotel reservation there.
Absolutely.
So now you're at sort of a little bit mid-northern California, right?
That is correct. We're about 15 minutes north of Sacramento.
Okay. All right, so the Honey Festival revolves around a product called mead. I have never heard of mead. What is it?
Well, I'm actually looking forward to it. I've sampled it one time, and it was probably about, I'd say, 2 years ago. And that kind of intrigued me because I had never, much like you, I had never heard of mead either. And so, you know, it has, depending on the mead and depending on the maker of it, sometimes it can have a little sweet taste to it. And, you know, it can be overly sweet for somebody who may not like a really sweet kind of a wine taste. And so I had a couple of different samples, and there were some that was mild. And so that really kind of opened my eyes up to the whole mead industry. And so, obviously, having a honey festival, you have to have mead, correct?
Well, and I'm looking at some more notes that I had, because I had to do some research on this. Even though when we think of honey, we just think of bees, and then I saw the word mead. But it says here, mead is a delectable alcoholic drink produced by fermented honey. I didn't even know honey fermented.
And neither did I. So I'm, much like you, I'm learning as well as I go along with this, which is great, because it's one of the, apparently it's one of the oldest alcoholic drinks known to man, which, again, I'm learning, just like a lot of people will learn at the Honey Festival. They're going to find out about it. And so we're having the Strad Meadery is going to be here. There's Honey Wine Run Company from Chico. So there's a whole bunch of people that are going to be talking about this. And so obviously we want to make sure that, you know, we educate them, because I'm going to be educated right along with them.
Yeah, well, again, I know there's a lot. We're going to talk about everything going on at the event, but there's one more note, folks, about mead, and it's M-E-A-D. It is has a 9,000-year-old history with humans. So humans have been drinking some sort of alcohol for at least 9,000 years. Now we have that mystery solved, right? Okay, and with us, folks, is Al Eby. Now, Al, the festival, it's a day-long festival in downtown Woodland. Now, it's obviously very, very family-friendly, because you're going to have a lot of things going on that day. Tell us about the festival.
Well, the festival, like you just mentioned, is a very family-friendly festival, and so we will have lots of things for families with kids and just, you know, people for things to do. There's going to be carnival-inspired rides. There's going to be a lot of pollinator-friendly gardening questions. A lot of people have questions about that. And then we'll have, I think right now our list is like 102 vendors on Main Street, downtown Historic Main Street. So along with that, there will be a lot of interactions for tasting honey and finding out about different products and dishes and things like this and recipes that can be made with honey. In addition to that, we will also have a honey lab, which is put on by Amina Harris, which is, you'll get to sample a whole bit, and there's so many things on this honey wheel that she has created along with UC Davis over there, and they have all of these samples of honeys, things that I have not even tried yet. So I'm really looking forward to what that experience is going to be. So, you know, along with that part of it, we will also have interactions for kids to be able to see live beehive demonstrations, to where they'll actually be able to see the hives and the bees inside the hives, and it's completely safe for them to look at those. And there's just so many things that we're looking forward to. We're still putting all the pieces together, but it's very, very close to being completed, and we'll have it all up on our website.
Well, and Al, you brought up the beehives. Are there going to be experts there? Because everybody thinks, okay, I just put one of the boxes in the backyard, and the bees will come, and they'll make a honeycomb, and it's not, I don't think, that simple. Will you have experts there to tell people that want to get started with their own honey bee colony how to do it?
Absolutely. Man Lake, which up here in the Sacramento region valley here, as far as in Yolo County, is one of the largest distributors and one of the largest companies up here that produces products for bees and treating for bees and how to really care for your hives. And they'll have a rather large presence here. So And you're right. I get this question just because of, you know, the connection to the California Honey Festival. A lot of people like, oh, yeah, I put a hive in my backyard and you know, come back maybe later on that summer and all the bees, you know, didn't make it, unfortunately. Mm. And you're right. And part of that is that my friend who kind of inspired me for this thing was to try and educate me about bees. And I learned basically through osmosis through him because he was, you know, going out, we'd go out to treat the hives or talk about the hives and all the areas. And it was really fascinating because I had no idea. I mean, it just lots of things. One of the problems that happens with hives, and again, I didn't know this, was they have to be treated for mites. And it is a big problem to commercial beekeepers where if people put it in their backyard or maybe they have, you know, a hobbyist, but they're not treating their bees for mites or some sort of a disease, it can affect their colonies and their bees as well. So it's really important that we have experts here that will teach people responsible beekeeping so that everybody wins on that, you know, with proper beekeeping. So I think that's extremely important, and I'm glad you raised that point.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because everybody keeps talking about if bees become extinct, so does the human race. Now, with all of our drought conditions and spring flowers, and this has been a really good year for at least us in California and Oregon and up in Washington State up there, is the possibility, and you might not know this, but I'm going to ask anyway, are bees not on the extinct level anymore? Are they doing okay?
Well, in certain areas, they're definitely. I don't have all the answers to that. You're absolutely correct, but I know in certain areas that they are definitely impacted. A lot of people will, you know, and you get a variation of opinions on this, but a lot of people do point to spraying and things like this. And so, you know, it's good education, and that, mm-hmm. I think that's the other thing. We'll have speakers. The National Honey Board will. There's a speaker from the National Honey Company, and they'll be here talking about. You know, treatment and hives and all of that, along with the effects of the bees and how important it is to have bee-friendly pollinator plants in your gardens. And you know, so that's I think you're absolutely right. It's also a good education part of it as well, so people know to maybe so that we don't get to that point. That's extremely important.
That's right. And with us, folks, is Al Eby. He is with the California Honey Festival happening on May 6th in Woodland, California. The website is already on Traveling with Francois, so you can click on there for all the details. Now, I also see, Al, you're going to have five different stages of entertainment as well. Not only are people going to learn and sample foods and go on carnival rides, arts and crafts and vendors, you're going to have entertainment.
Yes, absolutely correct. I think we are up to right now, I think the final one came in, I think we have six or seven musicians that have confirmed that they will be here. And so, yeah, there's music for everybody, everybody's style.
And this is a free festival.
That's absolutely correct. Free, the key word.
All right. Well, it just sounds like a ton of fun to me. And before we have to go here, how about lodging? Do you have plenty of lodging up in Woodland for visitors coming from outside the area?
We have plenty of lodging up here. And there is a, on the California Honey Festival that is linked to your website and your webpage. The information is on there for all of the hotels. You can also find that on visitwoodland.com. But on that information, we have plenty of hotels. We have a Hampton, we have Fairfield, we have Comfort Inn, we have Best Western, we have Holiday Inn Express. So we've got plenty of hotels for people.
All right. Well, Al Eby, thanks so much for calling in today to tell us about the California Honey Festival. It sounds like a ton of fun. Your first one, I'm hoping I can make it up there. And if not, I'm going to have you send me some mead. How's that?
I will make that happen for you.
All right. Al, thanks again. You have a great day.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay, folks, again, the information is already on Traveling with Francois. It's very simple. It's CaliforniaHoneyFestival.com. I will keep it on the website. I'll move it over to the information page. So it just seems, I don't know, a great way to spend a weekend and go up and have some mead. We have now solved that problem, Sean, right here on the show. How long have people been drinking? We know at least for 9,000 years.
Forever.
Forever, forever. And they were drinking honey, fermented honey. I didn't even know that.
So that means that people have chose alcohol to deal with their problems for a long time.
Until they found marijuana. Then they went to that. All right. Okay. On that note, we're going to step aside. You're listening to Traveling with Francois. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. Now, next Sunday, I just want to give you a heads up. I will be broadcasting live from the Rosie Casals tennis event at Indian Ridge Country Club. So you can stop by over there. We'll manage to get a little bit of travel news in there along with, some tennis stars and some other stuff. But right now, news here on the show is brought to you by Angel View Marts throughout the Coachella Valley and beyond. Travelers learn quickly that we don't need a lot of stuff. Nope. Well, that holds true for our homes, RVs, boats, and life in general. So what do you do with those new or gently used items? Well, you take them to Angel View. Your donation helps to fund the many programs Angel View offers its clients with life-changing disabilities. So for more information or to locate an Angel View Mart near you, go to angelview.org. It's that simple. All right. Also want to whale watching. The whales are still migrating, and there have been some great video from Dana Wharf Whale Watching. So check it out at danawharf.com and go on a whale watching experience. Oh, you know, speaking, we don't have whale watching passes. We're going to have those on the website. We had some winners for those. But we do have two admission passes to the Cabot Museum in Desert Hot Springs. If you want to go, give us a call, 760-440-8255. That's 440-8255. And I will mail those out to you. And Desert Adventures Red Jeep Tours, even though the weather is a little warm, you're out there in the Jeep and you can go see some amazing areas here in the Coachella Valley. So go to Desert Adventures Red Jeep Tours. Go to their website, red-jeep.com, and they have the San Andreas Fault Sunset Jeep Tour, which would be perfect right now. They have a stargazing. They have all sorts of different types, Painted Canyon, Mecca Hills. So give them a call and go on a Jeep tour. Also, Adult Customized Tours. They have added a bunch of new day trips for the rest of the year coming up. So go to their website, which is act-tours.com, and check out Adult Customized Tours. In fact, they even have a trip coming up to Nashville that I'm thinking about going on, and it has to do with the eclipse that's coming up. Speaking of, did you see the pink moon that was out there, which wasn't really pink?
I did not, but I was going to ask you, what does it mean?
It's not a pink moon. It's named after a flower that blooms this time of the year, and but it's not pink.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's for a flower.
Yeah, it's for a flower. And I had it on the website. I had it on the Facebook page to explain why it was called a pink moon. But were people waiting for it to turn pink? No, it doesn't happen. But it was a beautiful full moon, though.
It was. I did see that.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. But we do have a solar eclipse coming on August 21st. Now, you can go with Adult Customized Tours to Nashville, and they're going to be viewing the solar eclipse from Nashville. And this sounds like a really fun, fun trip. In fact, it says right here on the list, the 10 great places to see this summer solar eclipse, Nashville. So there you go. But there are other places across the states here, which would be great places to see the solar eclipse. California is not so high on the list here. Actually, it kind of starts up in Oregon and cuts its way across Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Georgia, and North Carolina, it looks like. So those are the states we're seeing the Great American Eclipse is what it's called on August 21st. The best states to see it because that's where it's kind of going to be crossing over. But can you imagine watching an eclipse from the Great Smoky Mountains National Park? That would be...
I think any park would be awesome. I don't know why, because you go away from all the lights and you can... Well, I guess, no, wait. A solar eclipse, it's going to be during the day anyways, right?
No, it's going to be at night.
That's a solar eclipse? I thought the solar eclipse was during the day and the lunar eclipse was at night.
Okay, well, maybe you're right.
I might not be.
That's a good thing, Sean. Point out that the host is wrong.
I thought I was wrong.
Okay. Now people are texting me. What? Anyway. Okay.
I still think yes. No, to answer your question, yes.
You're right.
A park would be awesome.
You are right. I didn't even think of, I'm thinking sky, okay? The eclipse is in the sky. All right. Craters of the Moon National Monument and Preserve in Idaho. These names sound incredible. Just to go to these places.
Right?
Forget about the eclipse. I just want to go to these. Carbondale, Illinois, the home of Southern Illinois University, is promoting itself as the Eclipse Crossroads of America. Not only is it at the center of the excitement this year, but 7 years from now, on April 8th, 2024, it will experience a similar event when a North American eclipse crosses the country from Texas to Maine. That's right. When the eclipse is just when it covers the, we go dark. But this will cover the But this says the moon shadow will cross. We're very confused about this.
I am. Now I'm overthinking
A swathius will plunge into darkness during a continental total eclipse of the sun. Oh, no, it is a total eclipse of the sun. Okay. You're right. All right. Hopkinsville, Kentucky. They say if you want to eke out every second of the eclipse, this western Kentucky town is one of your best bets. It will experience a full 2 minutes, 41 seconds of darkness. Plus, the event coincides with the town's annual Little Green Men Festival. Inspired by UFO incident in the 1950s, it's a small little local town celebrating. They will have a lot of little cool activities, and that is at Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Sounds fun. I like the little weird stuff like that.
The little weird stuff. So for 2 full minutes, the Earth will be dark.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it won't be really dark because everybody will flip on all their phones and they'll be taking pictures and all that sort of stuff. Okay, Charleston, South Carolina. The historic coastal city has rolled out an array of packages for the event, from hotel rooftop viewing with a College of Charleston astronomy instructor to a blues and barbecue harbor cruise on a paddle wheeler. This is essentially the last place in the United States that will see the eclipse. So that is in Charleston, South Carolina. Other places, we talked about Tennessee. Tennessee's capital will be the biggest city to go completely dark, so there you go. And John Day Fossil Beds National Monument in Oregon. The National Park Service already is planning for crowds in what's usually a quiet corner of Oregon. The monument's 3 units, known for an abundance of plant and animal fossils, all will plunge into darkness for up to 2 minutes. They say it's a wonderful setting with a great chance of clear skies. The Monument Bookstore will carry eclipse viewing glasses and filters, but suggests visitors bring their own in case they sell out. All right.
I don't know about Oregon being clear skies.
Yeah.
My experience in living in Oregon was not a lot of clear skies.
Not so clear. But, well, you know.
It will be around the summertime, though. Right? You said August?
Yeah, August 21st.
Yeah, so it'll be summertime. So maybe.
So what was the name of the... What we used to film, camera film, was it negatives?
The negatives, right?
The negatives. Isn't that what we used to watch the eclipses when we were little?
I remember when I was little, they had us make like a box, like a shadow box, and you had to look in there. But that's so, like, that's like watching it on TV. If you're outside, why are you looking at a box? I think what you can do is I think you got to buy a welder's mask. And look at it that way.
You're going to buy a welder's mask
for
2 minutes.
Because you can look at it.
That's true.
You can look directly at it because you can't, you're not supposed to look at it directly. And
that's true. You're not supposed to. Everybody's going to want to use your welder's mask. That's funny. All right. And negatives. No one has negatives anymore for film.
Yeah, no.
Who has film?
Nobody.
Or how about a paper? I thought in school we also learned, too, if you hold up a paper.
Yeah, and you make like a, yeah, it does like a.
A little hole or something in it?
You do a little hole.
Oh my gosh.
Like I said, that's like watching it on TV.
If you have a suggestion, we have a couple minutes left, not much time, but you want to call us and tell us how to watch the eclipse, I think we kind of covered it, but you're more than welcome to call 760-440-8255. Anyway, so it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I will remind you of all these places a little bit closer to August 21st, but in the meantime, I think you should just go to the Honey Festival and start there. Yes. Are you looking at your watch?
No, it was vibrating. Oh,
you
threw me off.
Wanted to know how much time you had left to go get your welder's mask.
Yeah, I got
to
buy one for 2 minutes.
Okay. Oh, quit making me laugh. I want to talk about thermostats in hotel rooms. That's another hot topic. It really is, because people, how many times do you go into a hotel room and you fight with a thermostat?
Well, I can't because I had to fight with my wife. So,
right. Well,
I lose no matter what.
No idea how to use it. You're sitting there pushing all the buttons. Nothing happens. Little do you know that they have them already preset in a lot of places. Yeah. So you can't really change them. But we'll have to talk about that on a different day. All right. Let's see. So that pretty much winds up today's show. We want to thank Al Eby for calling us about the California Honey Festival. Remember, that's on May 6th. And that is up there in Woodland, California. The website will be on Traveling with Francois. So you can click on over. Also on the website, I'll have new contests up tomorrow on the contest page. It's all free. The winners who won recently, I'll have their names posted. We want to thank Gretchen, who won in the first hour. Congratulations to her. She won when she went passes to the Palm Springs Trail Tramway. Next weekend, I will be over at the Rosie Casals tennis event. So, Sean, you will be in here with your welder's mask by yourself.
Yes.
So, counting me down to go ahead and start the show. But it's going to be a fun show anyway, and I'll make sure I bring some travel information and local information to fill you in, because I think I'm just going to be at the event, and I'm sure we'll have some guests, but I don't know how many at this point. So on that note, that's pretty much it. I'm going to wrap it up. Everyone have a great rest of your week. I'll see you back here next Sunday for more Traveling with Françoise right here on Money Radio. And as always, have a great week. And remember, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time.